We're going to talk briefly on Revelation chapter 21, verse 7. Revelation chapter 21, verse 7. Actually, I'm going to start from verse 3. From verse 3, can you please lower the microphone in the control room a little bit? It's a little bit too high. From verse 3, it says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and he shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. Amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." Now, verse 7 is where I'm going. "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Praise ye the Lord. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. That is what we are going to talk about today. To inherit all things, you have to overcome all things. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So we now want to say, what are the things we need to overcome? For we believers now, what are we to overcome? And I'm going to go through it slowly, step by step, so that we're going to have some good exhortation here. When you look at the book of Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, the Lord actually gave this same message: "He that overcometh, he that overcometh, he that overcometh, he that overcometh, he that overcometh." So then, which means there are some things we need to overcome to be able to get to that glory that we want to get to. And he said, if you overcome, you will inherit all things. Everything that God has created will be inherited for those that overcome it. Now, before we go to the book of Revelation to see some of the things that are listed there that we must overcome, remember in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and 3, the Lord was actually sending the messages to the churches, the body of Christ, the church, corporate. However, we're going to look at the epistle of 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 from verse 15 to 16. Apostle John summarized to us what we must overcome individually. You and I, as an individual, we must overcome some things. Because what all these things are listed here in the book, in 1 John chapter 2, where he said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Verse 16. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." So everything we believe as human beings are to overcome can be summarized in those three things: lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. See, they are not of the Father, they are of the world. And the world passeth away, as he said, with the lust thereof. So I'm going to give some brief exhortation, or a brief example of what is the lust of the eyes, and what is the lust of the flesh, and what is the pride of life. And you also have to remember these three things in individual human life They fit into what God was talking about in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and 3 for the corporate body. For the corporate body. And I'm going to go to that point to each one quickly when you get to that. But lust of the eyes, we've got to overcome it. Lust of the flesh, we've got to overcome it. Pride of life, we've got to overcome it. Because the Bible said these things are not of the Father, but they are of the world. And you can also see, when you look at the temptations that the Lord went through himself, the Lord Jesus Christ went through his own temptation, in the book of Luke chapter 4, you see that the devil came and tempted the Lord Jesus Christ. And the summary, everything was in this same realm of lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Let's go through that really quickly. Luke chapter 4 from verse 1. Let's see what the Lord himself went through. And the Bible says he went through the same thing without sin. So he's able to succor we that are tempted. Now, let me start from verse 1. He said, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. Now, look at that. He was tempted of the devil, not the last day. He said, being 40 days. Which means all through those 40 days, he was going through temptation. Well, if you have fasted before, you can also tell. The devil has a way of tempting people. I have tried some of those. The first 3 days of fasting, it will be a temptation to break it, to stop it. Come on. Everybody is eating around about you. You are struggling with your belly. That is common to everybody. So you can say, when he say being 40 days tempted, that will be one of those. The devil tried all those and he went through, he kept fasting. So after you have fasted, do 40 days, say, oh, it's not over yet. Then the devil came at the end of the 40 days, where if I cannot make you eat, maybe it could make him do something worse. And that is what you see that was summarized for us in these three temptations of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the first one. And the devil said unto him, verse 3, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Now, what is that? Lust of the flesh. You are hungry, muscle. That is the flesh. The flesh wants food right now. He already finished the fasting. So the first time was when he was trying to fast, the devil tried to make you have that lust of the flesh, muscle. Well, everybody is eating, break it, break it, break it, and you refuse because you were determined. So the devil sell a loss. Well, there comes the other one. Now you are really hungry and you are free to eat. Now the devil say, well, command this stone to be turned to bread. So it's more like, well, not only the loss of the flesh to fulfill that, but to show forth. Show me that you have this power. And what is that? Pride of life. So the devil is now combining 1 plus 1, bringing 2 out of 3. And the Lord didn't fall for that either. And the Lord said to him, Jesus answered him, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So we are going to take our cue from the fact that the way the Lord defeated the devil is by the word of God. So that is just by the way, because we are going to just go through pointing to the fact that these are all the things we also have to overcome. Yours may not be in this direct, this format, but it's still going to be lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Let's look at another example of this, the next temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, verse 5, and the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. What is that? He showed him something, so he already saw that's lust of the eyes. And we are talking about the Lord right now because he overcame all these things. But say we are to see our own example because we are going to bring it down to our own level. Because we say, well, the devil is not going to show you the kingdom of this world. But what about the lust of the eyes when you go to the grocery, when you go to the shops? and you have your house full, you are still wanting that. You're still wanting that. It's a loss of the eyes, you see. So we have to overcome some of those things too. So that's, I'm just giving you an example of the loss of the eyes when it comes to we human beings. What are you accumulating, acquiring until you just have no room for it? That is one of the things we have to watch against. Now, but the Lord Jesus Christ defeated the devil right there. What did he say? Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Now, when in that temptation, it's not just lust of the eyes. The devil also came with something. Pride of life. You want this power. You want to rule over these things. And we have had testimonies of people that wanted, maybe they were in the ministry and they wanted this power to be shown, the power to perform wonders. And they couldn't get it from praying and trusting God. So they went for the voodoo. We have heard of testimonies like that. And they said they went to some marine spirits who gave them power and said, "You will do this, you cannot do that." And the devil was trying to do the same thing. "Well, I'll give you this power over all these things. Just bow to the devil." And just because they said, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God." So when we say lust of the eyes, the devil is combining lust of the eyes with pride of life. You want this power. You want this glory. You want to wave and everybody fall down. The devil can give you that real quick. But you won't get that from the Lord that quick. You say, "Well, God can do those things too. Do you think the devil is the only one doing all those things?" God can do it, but God doesn't do those things. There's a purpose for God. What God is doing is for his kingdom. Everything God is doing has a purpose for his own kingdom. Not to show, not to call attention to yourself. So those are all these things, but the devil will give them, and Jesus Christ said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." But what you are pointing out is loss of the eyes with pride of life, because that is how the devil himself fell. Pride of life. I'm going to get to that in a few minutes. When you look at how did the devil fall, let's go quickly to that. Isaiah chapter 14. Because we learn from the mistake of others so that we don't fall into the same mistake. Isaiah chapter 14. This is what the Bible said about Lucifer. Let me read from the verses here where he said, "How art thou fallen from heaven, thou Lucifer, son of the morning?" And look at what the Bible said. That's from verse 12. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said," verse 13. Now, consider what that verse 13 is saying. "For thou hast said in thy heart," "thou hast said in thy heart." So we have to take note of that. Thoughts, ideas, suggestions. That is the same thing the devil uses against human beings. Thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. He does not have to implement it yet. And even in this generation we are in this country, there's what they call attempted. If you go to the bank and you try to say, "Well, everybody give me your money," and they all get scared, "I'm just kidding." That's an attempted. And they can arrest you for that. It's called attempted murder, attempted robbery. So when the devil just thought it in his heart, God is watching. And that's why the Bible says God watches the hearts, searches the hearts and the reins. Because when you look at that, "Thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." These are all the ideas still generating in his heart. But God has seen it. And in fact, God can put the ideas in you to see how you respond to it. You love it. Oh, now you are guilty. That is why I say attempted murder is a crime also in America and in many parts of the world. So that is what we're saying. Pride of life is one of the things that makes the devil fall. And the Bible says in verse 15, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the size of the pit." That was the judgment for the devil. But we as believers must overcome this loss of the eyes lust of the flesh and the pride of life. We pointed to an example of the lust of the eyes. Well, the lust of the flesh is, everybody know about the lust of the flesh. Oh yeah, well, sexual sins is always the result of lust of the flesh. Also, but there could be other things that is more than lust of the, more than the sexual sin. What about food appetite? The lust of the flesh, I give an example. When you want to fast, you started the fasting, the devil try to amplify that desire to eat. But if you have not tried it, let me try it. The first 3 days of people that went to fast long fast, the first 3 days is where you have a serious challenge. If you break through those first 3 days, well, I try that. If you can break through the first 3 days, you are on, you can finish your determination. But the devil may not give in, may not give up at that. If you keep on fasting and keep on fasting, you plan to fast 20 something days. And you try and you start it, the first, the second, the third day, there will be serious temptation to stop. Lust of the flesh. So if you have problem with fasting and not be able to control those things, it's going to show when you get to what the logical is talking about. When it talks about the churches, the command he gave to the churches, I'm going to go to that in a moment. All the things he told the churches, you will see that everything to the church of Ephesus, to the church of Smyrna, to the church of Pergamos. Let me go quickly to those Bible verses, and you will see that this individual things, lust of the eyes of the individual, lust of the flesh of individual, or pride of love of individual, it feeds into the corporate body. It will feed into the corporate body. Let's take example of Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. Here the Lord was talking to the church of Ephesus. And he said in verse 7 there, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcometh, remember, we are to overcome. That's what the Lord is, that's the command to everyone. Ye that overcometh shall inherit all these things. So we must overcome everything. We are pointing out the first one is lust of the eyes in yourself, lust of the flesh in yourself, pride of life in yourself. And the Bible is saying to the church, the body of Christ, when you look at this, it says, to him that overcometh. So it brings it to individual. But when he was addressing the church, he said, unto the angel of the church. So you can see where he is talking to the leadership. The leadership. Because body of Christ, the angel of the church will be like the minister that was sent to them. But now when he's saying, if the minister, if you think, well, our local church, because you can compare local church with another local church, or the body of Christ with another religion, but say it is still individual. You have to remember. So when he's giving the promise, he's giving the promise to he that overcome it. Individual person, we have to overcome for the whole body of Christ to overcome all these things that is destined. So when you look at this, every one of these instructions to the churches, it is not only to the body of Christ, it is to you as an individual. And take, for example, the persecution that will come, Smyrna, Church of Smyrna, chapter 2, verse 11. In that, to the Church of Smyrna, he was given the promise, he said, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Because he already told them that there will be serious persecution in verse 9 and verse 10. Say, fear none of those things, verse 10, which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall put some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Now, he's telling them there will be persecution. In their generation, that's Church of Smyrna, there was serious persecution. But let me bring it to our level. As we progress in this race, as the end of the world come upon us, there is coming serious persecution. If you don't know it, it is written in the book of Revelation chapter 13, that there will be a mark of the beast. That is the time that the Bible said, no man will be able to buy or sell unless they take this mark of the beast. Look at this in the book of Revelation chapter 13. But that's persecution. He told them in the church of Smyrna that there will be a persecution for them, and what was his promised he that overcometh that persecution will not be hurt of the second death. Well, for our own generation, this is why I'm just pointing this one out again, because there is coming a serious persecution for the believers. I say believers, the Bible said in Revelation chapter 13, from verse 16, talking of this false prophet and antichrist that is coming at the end of the world, which we are seeing this thing being the stage is set for the world. He said, he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, that we believe is what is being, the stage is being set right now for that. People are thinking, oh, could that be this thing? They say you have to get this mandatory thing, mandatory fascination. That is not the mark that is to be upon the hand, upon the forehead. But the direction they are going in this world right now, I'm just telling you this, the way we have been seeing it going on in the world. Many people, when this pandemic started 2020, last year, some of these people, we have seen, this is how we're going to know those who have not received the vaccine. They wanted to start bringing in the chip under the skin, where they are going to be their medical record. Well, that has been, the technology has been in the development over the years. Now they are trying to say, let's use this technology. Some people say Bill Gates was proposing it. Now, the reason why they have not introduced that is because that has not been implemented yet. But you see, the technology is there, but this thing took them by surprise, and because they have not set this one up, they have to just get the vaccine out to save people. But now I say, well, how are you going to know who has been vaccinated? Because that is where we are right now. We are now in the phase 2, maybe phase 3, maybe phase 4. Well, how are you going to know who has been vaccinated? Well, they are giving some certificates that you have been vaccinated. Well, that is progression. Progression to the next phase. For the next phase, they will say, well, no, people in Africa, we heard stories. People can fake it. You go there and they just give you paper. You are vaccinated when you have not. And that's become like fraud. They say, well, we can't trust those paper anymore. We are going to now use chip under the skin, where your medical record is already in that chip under the skin, RFID chip. That is the direction they are going. So they are mandating this now. Get to that phase, and they mandated that you have to get this chip under the skin. It will not just be for the vaccination, because right now the vaccination is like, if you are not vaccinated, you might even not be able to travel, you can't get into the airplane. It's a progression. They are saying, this is saying they won't be able to buy or sell unless they have this mark under their hand or in their forehead. If they can't buy or sell, it's like they can't get a job. Now, if people can fast, if your belly is your God, like Apostle Paul said in the place, he said that their belly is their God. It's going to come to that. If your belly is your God, you can't stand not being able to buy or sell. Don't you? And this is coming. This is not something we can pray against. The Bible said this is what is going to happen at the end of the world. So the believers can pray against this not to happen. And it's beginning to show up in our generation, because we have been waiting for this. Perhaps people have been thinking we will have gone away in the rapture before any of these things take place. And we still believe before they mandated the chip under the skin. Right now they are still mandating the certificate or vaccination. And very soon they will face off all the currencies, no more money, other than your money in the bank, and you have a chip too, that you'll be scanned to get your money out of the bank. That is the direction cashless society has been proposed over the years. That is the direction it's going. Because this chip, by the way, I have worked on this RFID chip, not the one they are putting under the skin, the one that's filled up on our credit card. I've worked on it in my computer lab. See, that chip under the skin can take all your bank records, all your records, all your information. That's what it is. But that is where they also go to put the certificate in, so that you don't need any paper to show that you have been vaccinated or this or that. And perhaps that's where your bank account will be. And that is the way they are going to, the world is going. That's why he said they won't be able to buy us unless they have the sheep. Somebody was proposing it in Europe many years ago. I presented it in one of those things we are doing many times ago, this quarterly thing we were doing before. And this man presented it in a conference, engineering conference. He said, this ship in the next few years will be non-optional. That was the word the man used in Europe. He said, this ship that they were proposing, that was when they are developing it, they are developing it, and he said, it's going to become non-optional. That means it's not like where I can decide not to take it. When there is no more currencies, when that will be the only way you can get money out of the bank, or the only way you can be employed. This thing is coming, folks, but then that's going to become persecution. When you say persecution, only believers who believe this Bible, who believe this book of Revelation chapter 13, will not want to take it. That is the issue. That is why it is a persecution. It's coming to this Western world, because now we have been seeing persecution in the Middle East by the extreme jihadists or the extremists with other religions. But this is not going to be religions, religious people. It's going to be economy. And that's what the Bible says, is economy. It is monetary matters. When you say they cannot buy or sell except they take this mark, and then that will be the form of persecution. That's what I'm pointing out, that this persecution will come, and if you have not been able to control, have this self-control where we say you have crucified the flesh, if you are still having problem with this lust of the flesh, you can't do without going to job, you can't do without food. People will buy, they just can't stand this, they will go for it. They will go for it. That is why the Bible is giving us one to know that this thing is coming. But God promised many things for the believers. Look at Revelation chapter 3 again, where he was promising the church of Philadelphia. Revelation chapter 3. To the church of Philadelphia, let's look at verse 12. And him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God. Now, let's see where he said he will keep them from the hour of temptation in verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now, this mark of the beast, the monetary system that they're going to change, that's why he meant they won't be able to buy or sell unless they take this sheep under their skin, the mark of the skin, mark of the beast. That is an hour of temptation. An hour of temptation for the whole world. And like I say, only believers that believe the Bible will say that is not to be taken. You say, why do you say they shouldn't take it? Look at Revelation chapter 14. This is where the angel was saying in chapter 14. Why do we say nobody should take that sheep under the skin or mark of the beast? This is what the Bible said. Chapter 14, from verse 18. No, from verse 8. It said, and there followed another angel, Babylon, from chapter verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, that's verse 9, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark on his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with the fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. So that is the verdict. God said, anyone that take the mark of the beast, which he says is coming upon the whole world, that fellow will receive the wrath of God. Not so. So who are going to believe that? Only the believers in the Bible. That's why I said this is designed for the believers. This is designed. Remember the days of Daniel in the Bible? when they said, unless nobody should pray to any god for 30 days, just 30 days, except to the king. And Bible said that was specifically designed for Daniel. That persecution was specifically designed to catch Daniel. I'm saying this mark of the beast was specifically designed against the believers in the Bible, because now you have to decide, do you believe what this book of Revelation chapter 14 is saying? That this, anyone that take this mark of the beast is going to go into the hell and lake of fire, because that's what the Bible is saying there. If you say, I believe the Bible, and you believe this, and then that time comes and you are around and they said you have to take this or you can't get a job. Right now they are still saying anyone that is not vaccinated in some hospital, you can't work. But vaccination is still not the thing. It's not vaccination. It is what is going to follow the vaccination. The mark of the beast is the real thing. When they say you have to get this chip, and you say, why will God be concerned with technology? Because God sees what you cannot see. God is seeing in the spirit, and you are seeing the physical. Bible said a beast coming from the bottomless pit that is going to take hold of this world leader called the Antichrist. And that beast will say he was and is not, and is going to perdition, because this evil spirit has been locked up in the bottomless pit and is going to be released temporarily, called the beast, that's the spirit, and is going to come upon the world and take over whoever is the leader of the world and enforce this, just like he did in the days of Babylon. It was a spirit. God is looking at the spiritual world, not just the physical world. Say, well, it's just technology. It makes it so convenient. Oh, why? You don't need a credit card. Just it's right there on your ship, on your hand, or your forehead. See, but God is not looking at what is going on in the physical. He's looking at who is behind it all. What spirit is behind it? In the days of Nebuchadnezzar, the same spirit. That's why the Bible called him Babylon the Great. I call it mystery. It's a spirit that was with that Nebuchadnezzar then. And the Bible said, he said, everyone must bow to his image or be killed or be thrown into the fiery furnace. It's a spirit that was behind it, not just the man Nebuchadnezzar, a spirit. Well, that spirit was the one that was saying it's a mystery, Babylon the Great. So the devil was, that spirit was locked up in the bottomless pit. But when you look at the book of Daniel, he said, he is one of the seven. And he came back and be the eighth. It's a spirit. That's why I say he was and he was not. Now he's coming again and he's going to perish. Because when you look at the book of Revelation again, he said that beast and the false prophet were cast alive to the lake of fire. So God is dealing with spirits and not just the human beings that are implementing what the spirits are telling them to do. But what we are pointing out is this. In the book of Revelation chapter 14, anyone that received that mark is going to the lake of fire or with the devil also. And chapter 3, God said, I will protect some in the hour of temptation. God will protect some. And then we believe the rapture will take place about that time when they are about to make it almost unbearable for the righteous to live. But if you cannot even, if you are still having struggle with the lust of the flesh, and your belly is your almost your God, you may have problem, because that may not even last 3 years before the Lord come and take some people away. But those few years, when they cannot buy or sell, will you be able to stand those few years? Or you are going to just succumb to food and go get the mark, just so that you can go to the grocery and buy your stuff? That is one of the reasons why we are pointing this one out. That the Lord is telling us, preach it. We are at the borders of these things. We are at the borders of these things. I say lust of the flesh is an example of that. If we overcome this lust of the flesh, then fasting won't be a problem. Because if there's no food, can I bear some loss of food for a while? Then you talk about the pride of life also. Desire for vainglory. That is another thing that we need to overcome. The pride of life. Take, for example, give me Galatians chapter 5, verse 26. The devil uses the pride of life, like we see the testimony, the temptation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He uses lust of the eyes plus lust of the flesh, or lust of the flesh, pride of life. They are all things that we believers must overcome one by one. And I'm just going to point to some of these things that we can say this is our challenge. For the pride of life, let's look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, 26. Here is Apostle Paul telling us, let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Desirous of vain glory is what the devil uses many times to try to trap people in what is called pride of life, desire of vain glory. And you can, there are so many testimonies of people that wanting to please people is pride of life. Wanting to be recognized is pride of life. Wanting to please people. You remember the stories in the Bible of a king, King Saul. In the Bible, you see, well, he was trying to be humble or this. He wanted to please the crowd, because when he was made to be king, some of the people said, how is this man going to deliver us? So they didn't respect him. So in trying to please them at all costs, he disobeyed God. That's one of the reasons why anyone that is having struggle with all of these things, trying to please people, very soon when God tells you to do something, you will not, you'll be putting that one aside, trying to please the crowd. King Saul, in his own day, when the prophet came to him and said, God told you, God is sending you on an errand, go and destroy Amalek and don't save anything, and he went and they were destroying all those things, and the people, his people that he was leading, told him that, King, let us save these ones, let us save all these beautiful cattle, animals, and we sacrifice some of them to God. To please them, he forgot what God commanded, or he didn't respect what God commanded. Destroy everything, don't save anything. That's why I say sometimes when you have desire to please people, it will make you offend one time or the other. Another way the Bible put it is, it said, friendship with the world is what? Enmity with God. Friendship with the world. So when you think about what is friendship with the world, trying to please your co-workers is friendship with the world. Trying to please your schoolmates just to be cool and be friendship with the world. Very soon you have enemy, you have something with instruction of God. That's what you call, that's why I say, that's why I point. So some of those things, they are subtle, but you have to recognize them and say, I'm going to stand my ground and I'm not going to succumb to this. I'm not going to succumb to what the world would have wanted me to do, to please men. That's one of the examples. Now, let's see another story here in the Church of the Laodiceans. Maybe that's where we can learn some lessons here. In the Church of the Laodiceans, Revelation chapter 3. The Lord was talking to this church. If in many places people have preached about this church, the seven churches that the Lord was talking to here, Laodicea church is talking about these last days, the churches of the last days. And when you look at what was their problem, look at verse 21, and then we look at verse 19. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. He said, to him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and I am set down with my Father in his throne. But what are they to overcome? Verse 19 said, as many as I love, I rebuke. Let's go first to what he said about them. What did they say about them? He said, because thou sayest, I am rich. That's verse 17. He said, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That is their problem. That is, they were boasting, comparing themselves with some other people. If you compare yourself with some other people, you say, well, we are better off. If your church, a local church, is comparing themselves with another local church, you say, yeah, we have this, we have that. There they said they are rich, they are increased with goods, they have everything that they needed. And God is looking and saying, you are not rich, you are wretched. I'm miserable. I'm blind. So then what are we to overcome? What are we to overcome in this situation? He said we have to overcome the pride. It's a pride of life that makes you think, oh, well, we are better off than the church next door, or we are better off than the other person. And he said, when God look at you, you are looking at comparing man with man. God is looking at you and saying, you are wretched. You are blind. Counsel to buy of me gold, try in the fire. So he wants us to be zealous for more of him. Be zealous for more of him. So the pride of life comes in that subtle way. Comparing yourself without thinking, well, I'm okay. Or I'm great. I'm better. But God is saying, we need to overcome. He said, he that overcomes shall inherit all things. You must overcome the lust of the eyes. You can think about that. Is this lust of the eyes? You must overcome the lust of the flesh. I just give an example of the lust of the flesh when it comes to food, the lust of the eye when it comes to the desire to acquire more things, and the pride of life wanting to be recognized. Those are just examples. You can think of many more. And the Lord is saying, well, anyone that overcome, you have to overcome all these things. Then you say, he that overcome shall inherit all the things that God has created for us. For us to overcome these things, we must overcome all these things that is listing out for us. And like I said, the persecution that is coming, we must overcome the lust of the flesh so that we don't fall easily to the things that the enemy is trying to say. If you don't get this, if you don't buy food, if you don't get this sheep, you'll be able to buy. If that occurs right now, how many people will be able to stand? Maybe I'll go and hide somewhere and just keep looking on the Lord. Just, I was telling someone this, and she said, this thing is coming. It may be the time that everybody may have to just be ready to go and run and hide in the jungle. And whatever you can feed yourself, well, how long am I going to do that? If you look at the Bible, within few years, people predict, I believe, 3.5 years. Within a few years, Christ will come and take his own away when it's becoming unbearable. You have to remember that. But if you can't even fast a little bit, it will be tough for those who can't even bear those. That's what I'm saying. We need to begin to overcome this lust of the eyes and lust of the flesh and pride of life so that we can stand. In conclusion, I'm going to wrap it up right now. Let's look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Because God is calling us, we have to now look at ourselves and say, how can I overcome all these things? To overcome, you have to, like you say, how did the Lord Jesus Christ overcome every temptation? You must confess the word of God. You must confess the word of God. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the Lord, confession is open your mouth and say the word of God. Open your mouth and say the word of God. That was what the Lord Jesus Christ used to defeat Satan. Then the devil come and say, do this. If you are the son of God, why don't you turn this stone to bread? The Lord didn't try to reason out with him. Just speak what the Bible said. Look for Bible verses that will counteract what the devil is trying to do. And give me Isaiah chapter 43 verse 25. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 25. In all this world that I'm pointing out, I'm just pointing to the fact that the Lord will forgive when we have repented and when we stand our ground, because you may stumble and it's not over yet, just stand up and keep running the race. But you don't want to stumble at the last when they will take the mark and there's no turning back in that one. Like you say, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, or pride of life. Many of us are falling into one or the other, one time or the other. But when you remember what the Bible said, just guard yourself again and start running. Start walking the race. That's why I say, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you. And the Lord said, I am he that blotted out thy transgression for my own sake, and will not remember thy sins. When we believers, he said, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. When you have fallen into any of these other offenses, this is like a staging ground. You don't want to fall for the Antichrist when that becomes a line of no return. But somebody have a trouble with this, work on it. You have trouble with loss of the eyes, work on it. You have trouble with the pride of life, and you remember what the Bible says, deal with it. Maybe you acquire too much, get rid of all those things and be heaven bound. Maybe it is loss of the flesh, begin to control yourself so that it's not the food that's controlling you, because that's part of lust of the flesh. Let you be the one that's controlling things. things, not that the food is a cigarette, all the type of things, they can be addiction to you. But if you begin to let the Holy Ghost take control of your life, you will be able to surrender, to temper all those things. When you temper them, then you will remember your sins no more. The one you don't want to do, you don't want to be in the situation where you fall into the mark of the beast because you couldn't control your food appetite. You just have to get food at all costs. That part that is becoming no return. And the Lord is saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, as we wrap it up, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. So God said, He touched not the unclean thing, and I will receive you unto myself. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. From verse 14, you can see the Lord talking to us here that don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Everything that we are summarizing, you can put it in this Bible verses that said, what agreement, what concord has Christ with Belial? That is, you are going to wash unto yourself and separate yourself from all the things that can defile you. And verse 17, so I'm going to say, come out from among them and be ye separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, said the Lord Almighty. So in summary, we got to overcome the lust of the eyes. We got to overcome the lust of the flesh. We got to overcome the pride of life, so that we can stand and be counted for the Lord. So that we can stand pure before the Lord. And our challenge is, daily, search yourself and say, am I overcoming? If anything comes your way, check with the Bible. Am I submitting to it? Am I succumbing to this lust of the eyes in this situation? Or lust of the flesh? Or this pride of life? Can this be a pride of life in my life if I do this? Or if I think like this? If I yield to this? And if you are still falling into any of those, repent quickly. And that's what we have to say. And he said, I will receive you unto myself. But the final analysis is, at the end of this world, things are going to get rougher. You don't want to fall for the Antichrist system when it comes. And that is my warning to every one of us, that don't fall for the Antichrist system, because like we are saying, the word of God is given to all of us. There will be a time when there will be things like we talk about the mark of the beast. In this world, there will be several that will say that is not the mark of the beast. That's why you need to know the word of God. That's why you need to know the word of God. Because if a congregation is saying this is not the mark of the beast, and you don't rightly divide the word, you'll be following their steps. So like we were talking about what the Lord gave to the churches, that he gave every command to the churches, that is the corporate body. But individually, if you yourself are grounded in the word, if a corporate body is saying, well, that is not the mark of the beast, because there will be denomination that we say, when it occurs, they will say, this is just technology, not the mark of the beast. And if you are listening to the internet news and say, well, that church said it, that it's not the mark, and you believe them, and you follow them, and if that is the mark of the beast, that means you are not grounded in the word. So that's what we are pointing out, that the word of God is what the Lord is challenging everybody to say, be ye zealous first, individually. He's talking to individual, be ye zealous. He's talking to individual that he that overcometh, not the church that overcometh, not the denomination that overcometh, not the local church that overcometh. Because a local church can say, this is our stand. Because it's going to come to that at this end of the world. It's going to come to that. Like you see right now in the world, some churches say this, another church say this, another church may say, this is our own standing about this. But God is not saying the church that overcomes, he's saying individually, you that overcomes. So you better know the word of God and stand your ground, what the word of God says, not what a church or evangelist said on television. They say, oh, that's not the mark. That will sway a lot of people to take that mark in that time. It's coming to happen. And that's one of the reasons why we said, know the word of God, stand your ground, overcome this loss of the eyes, loss of the flesh, part of life, and then use the word of God like Jesus can use it against the devil. Can we stand up and pray? Let's just stand up and pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the few exhortations that we have been able to give. We pray, Lord, that you help every believer to understand this and to overcome all these things that is part of human flesh. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. Father, Lord, help us to overcome all these things, Lord, and be able to stand before you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, The praise team can come back now. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, what the Lord said. Be sure to overcome all these things that the Lord has listed for us. Loss of the eyes, overcome it. Loss of the flesh, overcome it. Pride of life, overcome it. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Hallelujah.